Well, I too can say a hearty amen to what Aunt Noreen was saying. I'm depending on him too. And the wonderful thing is, we all can depend on him. And that's how he wants it. That's how he designed it. And I'm so thankful that he's the one that is, not only did he create the wonderful plan of salvation, but he enables it to work. Because he is God. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. And as always, I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. I have a few thoughts the Lord has given us I wanted to share. So I want to start off with kind of a rhetorical question. I don't have to have an answer necessarily because I think I know the answer to this for everyone. But have you ever done something that you were ashamed of or embarrassed about? Of course we have. I've had my full share. And one story, I'm not going to go into detail about it this morning, but I think of it different times. And I have to kind of chuckle at myself now. And that's when you know you've kind of got over it, is when you can kind of laugh at yourself about it now. But several years ago, one of the companies I was working for, I was scheduled to go to Dallas to one of their facilities and to take a flight down there. Just a one-day trip. Leave early in the morning, come back that evening. And the short version of that story is, I missed my flight. And that was very embarrassing. Very humiliating. And it was a new project. It was like, and I was kind of going to have to spearhead this, and I missed my flight. And I'll be honest with you, it was hard to go back to the office later that morning. Called my boss, I told him what all happened, and he was pretty gracious. I'm thankful for that, but it was tough. But here's the thing. The fact that I missed that flight was not a reflection upon my boss or the company I was working for. They did everything correct. My tickets were purchased. I didn't have to pay for anything. All the tickets were there. Everyone did their part but me. I was the one that missed the flight. It's a long story of how that happened, but regardless, it was a painful lesson. But that's one of those things, again, it just shows that, you know, we're all human. Things like that happen sometimes. And in fact, some other things that I don't think I have to say too much. You all will totally get this one. But, you know, there's been times where, even up here in the pulpit, ministering over the years, that I've said things that were kind of like, well, that wasn't right, or that didn't make sense, or that word wasn't pronounced right, or whatever it is. And sometimes maybe I have to go back later and correct it or make a clarification or whatever. And times where, honestly, I wish there was a little trap door underneath here. I could just kind of disappear and you don't see me again. But the fact of the matter is, it all this does is it shows that we're human. And there's things that we do that, again, it's not a reflection of the fact that I may miss, you know, quote something or say something wrong necessarily. It's not a reflection upon God and his word and the truth. No, it's about me that, okay, I made a mistake or I did something, you know, that, and I have to correct that or whatever. So again, it's, as we go along in life, of course, there's things that are going to happen that we have to maybe go back and correct or maybe apologize or address something. Or maybe there's a misunderstanding and say, you know what? Maybe I didn't understand this, and I'm sorry, or, you know, maybe I need to correct this and do this. And even though we're embarrassed or we're ashamed of something, it's like, man, I wish I would have never done that, or I wish I would have done this, or whatever the case is. So my burden this morning is not to talk about all our blunders, but I want to dig a little deeper here, take this to another level. And I want to talk about Apostle Paul and Timothy. In the scriptures. And there's one particular scripture that I want to read here in a moment, but I want to give just a little background. We're going to read a scripture in 2 Timothy, the first chapter. So if you want to go ahead and turn there, we'll read a scripture here shortly. But Apostle Paul was toward the end of his ministry, and he was in prison at this time, writing these letters to Timothy, which he even mentions here in the first few verses about my dearly beloved son. Now, it was not his literal son. This was as his spiritual son. He was a young man, Timothy. He was a minister himself. And Apostle Paul is an older man, older minister. And he was very fond of Timothy. And he'd shared a lot of time, spent a lot of time with him, mentoring him, so on and so forth. And so Apostle Paul is in prison. And knowing that his execution is looming near, he wasn't sure when, but it was going to happen more than likely. And it was all for the sake of the gospel. He was preaching the gospel, and the folks didn't care for that. So he was persecuted for that. But Apostle Paul had a message to give to Timothy, to this young man. And Apostle Paul had lived life long enough, and yes, he had had his share of blunders too. Quite frankly, you remember his most horrible blunder was when he persecuted the church himself. Before he was transformed and saw the light, and Jesus met him there on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever, transformed him to a new man. And no doubt that probably haunted him for a while, maybe till his dying day. I don't know. I didn't talk with him directly. But that wasn't what he chose to focus on. He didn't choose to focus on his blunders, his mistakes, the things he was ashamed of and embarrassed about. He chose not to focus on those things. Rather, he focused on the Lord. He focused on the message of the gospel, preaching God's word in the Spirit. All right? So that leads us to the scripture I want to read here. And this is 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Again, this is a personal letter to Timothy, and he's telling him, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Thank the Lord. Yes. That is, to me, the older I get, I guess, the more powerful and more true that scripture becomes. Because I have seen folks over the years that maybe they did make some blunders. Maybe they did have some mistakes. But let me tell you something. They got a hold of something just like Apostle Paul did. And they realized that God never makes a mistake. And God is always able to deliver and to inspire and to encourage and to transform someone into someone new and different. Okay? Just like Apostle Paul had experienced. And he'd lived life long enough and experienced things to the extent beatings, persecutions, railings, imprisonments, all these things, shipwreck. He experienced all these things, and he's saying, you know what? God is still faithful. And let me read this scripture again. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." You know, there's another scripture. We'll read it maybe later too. It's in Romans where Apostle Paul is saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Okay? So he's saying, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So I want to write the title on the board this morning. So I've written on the board, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." And those are some of Apostle Paul's own words. So again, despite the suffering and persecution and everything that he endured, and I'll just say this, it's pretty obvious for all of us. I don't think any of us have experienced persecution to the extent that Apostle Paul did, where someone was threatening to take your life because, and maybe you have, or maybe we will, I don't know, but I haven't personally been threatened where someone is fixing to take my life if I don't recant and if I don't, and they're going to put me in prison and eventually execute me. But Apostle Paul, he got to the point where he's like, you know, and I could just imagine him preaching to his captors there, the ones that are holding him captive. I can just imagine him and just talking with them, and he's praying and singing and doing all these things. And they're like, man, this guy is crazy. He was crazy about his Lord, okay? He was sold out. He was not ashamed. There was nothing. And let's think about this for a little bit. The word ashamed, which we understand what it is, but just to emphasize it again, it's a feeling of shame or disgrace for being embarrassed or humiliated about something. So like I said earlier, my personal examples of being ashamed that I missed my flight, that was quite embarrassing. But again, it wasn't a reflection upon the company or my boss. It was just something I did. And so what Apostle Paul is saying here, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He's like, yes, there's some things I'm ashamed of about myself because he himself failed or came up short. And even for myself, there's some things maybe I've done or haven't done that maybe I've come up short, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel because there's something about the gospel. And I want to get into this here a little bit. Let's dissect this scripture a little more. Again, Paul was not ashamed. He wasn't embarrassed about the gospel. And it says, for I know whom I have believed. So let's think about that just a little bit. Apostle Paul had a deep personal relationship with God. Let me say that again. He had a deep personal relationship with God. You know, that's the only way, if I can be so bold to say this, that you're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. Because you're not focused on anyone else. You're focused on your relationship with the Lord. Meaning, I'm willing to do what God asked me to do, and I don't care what anyone else says or thinks, because it's not their relationship with God, it's my relationship with God. Remember the scripture, and I use this often, but let's use the whole scripture. It says, work out your own salvation, but that's not it, with fear and trembling, all right? In other words, where you're allowing God and the gospel and the truth of his word to work in my life. In other words, I'm open to what God is showing me. I'm open to where God wants me to move up on. I'm open to do what God wants me to do, all right? So, and again, Apostle Paul is saying here, I know whom I have believed. There's something that he had a confidence. He had several experiences, encounters with God personally, and obviously with others too. But he was always coming back to the Lord and saying, Lord, you see what so-and-so did. You see what so-and-so did. You see this situation over here. You see my mistakes over there. You see where I'm dealing with this issue over here. But in the midst of all that, Apostle Paul is saying, I know who I believe in because he's never changed and he's never failed me once. Thank the Lord. That's the faithfulness of God that we can depend upon. So again, he knew. He had a personal encounter, a personal relationship with the Lord. All right? So let's move on in this scripture. He says, and am persuaded that he is able to keep. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, Apostle Paul was convinced that God was powerful enough to keep him. Even all the different things he experienced, he was convinced that God was able to keep him safe, as in not allow his soul to be destroyed. Paul was going to have to give that up himself. Remember when Job, you remember all the things that Job encountered? And it seemed like I've never come close to dealing with everything that Job dealt with. But even after all of those losses, he didn't charge God foolishly. He didn't lose his soul. He could have, because his own wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job's like, no. God's the one that gave me everything I had. And if he chooses to take it, then he can take it. Because he's the one that gave it to me to begin with. And you know how the end of Job turned out? I love the end of that story. God blessed him with at least twice, if not more, abundance of things than what he began with. Isn't that wonderful? You see, that's the kind of God we deal with. Job was not ashamed to say, that's my God. Even though everything looks like all the adversity, all the disadvantages, all everything that's being taken away from him, he's saying, I'm not ashamed to say, he's my God. I'm still trusting in him. Job was faithful to the Lord because the Lord was faithful to him, okay? So I want us to understand this. The faithfulness starts with God, not with us. He's the one that was faithful in the beginning, all the way back in Genesis. The foundation of the earth, the creation, all the things that he established from the foundation of the earth. Again, starts with Genesis all the way through the scriptures. Now all the way to our present day. It's been God's faithfulness is the common denominator. All right? Therefore, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to say God is in control. God can be trusted. God is powerful enough to work in a situation that seems impossible. Apostle Paul was convinced that. In fact, Apostle Paul knew that if God wanted to, he could deliver him out of the prison. He'd done it before. That was his confidence that he had in his God. He was not ashamed to talk about his God. He was not ashamed to experience and to share everything God had done for him to that point. All right? So again, he knew God was able to keep him. And let's move on to this last part. That which I have committed unto him against that day. There's a lot of things that can go into that. And we could say, first of all, we'll touch on this point. Apostle Paul, being a minister of the gospel, he could say that he's committed his efforts in the Lord back to the Lord, saying, Lord, this was your calling. Jesus is the one that found and met Saul on the road to Damascus and transformed him, all right? It was God's calling upon Saul's life, become Paul. And furthermore, the message of the gospel that he started preaching was not the gospel of Paul. It was not the gospel of Peter. It was not the gospel of John or anyone else. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. It was the truth, the living truth of who had just lived in the flesh. It was God in the flesh through his son, Jesus Christ, lived on the earth. He was crucified and resurrected again and transformed souls on the day of Pentecost and continued transforming souls after that. And Apostle Paul is saying, this is not my gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm committing that back into God's hands, saying, Lord, you can keep your gospel clean and pure because it's yours. All right? If it's a gospel of someone else, guess what? It gets diluted. It gets tainted because, guess what? As I mentioned earlier, people can fail. People can do things that are embarrassing and can make you ashamed of. Just like missing a flight or misquoting or misspeaking a word or mispronouncing something. It's like, we're human. So we don't want to base the gospel off of us, do we? But oh no, when it's based off of Jesus Christ, guess what, folks? It will stand. It will stand the test of time, all right? So again, that's something he's, again, committed back to God, the gospel message. It's God's church. It's God's gospel. It's his truth. It's his word. It's all his, folks. So, and here's the other part. He's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. A couple other things we could throw in there that I believe fit would be the souls of all believers. You know, God is able to keep each and every soul that desires to be kept. You understand the point in that? That if we really want to make it to heaven, God has a pathway. He has the roadmap right here, folks. All right? It's thus saith the word of the Lord. And inspired by his spirit. And encouraged by the cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us. Where they lived it and they've proved that, guess what, folks? This can be done. It's because they're not ashamed of the gospel. Therefore, we don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. All right? And it's also the soul of Paul himself. That God knew, or Apostle Paul knew, that God could keep his soul too. And I've heard it said this way. And I, again, the older I get, the more I realize some truth in this. I remember different ones that have gone on, that lived for the Lord for many decades. Some that preached the gospel from the pulpit, others that preached the gospel with their life. But it didn't matter. It's when they got up into their older years, you know, the devil fought them too. Like, really fought them. Like, why don't you just give up? Like, what's the point? You know, it's like, And it's hard to fathom that. But I've heard them say with their own lips that the devil is fighting me harder now than he ever had earlier in my life. It's hard to comprehend, but folks, the devil is desperate. He wants to steal and to kill and destroy us. He wants to make us look like fools. Like, oh, you did all those things for God. At the very last, you give up and ha, ha, ha. You know, the devil has a last laugh. Folks, that doesn't have to be the case. And Apostle Paul knew that Satan was going to come and to tempt him again. Even while preaching the gospel and witnessing to the jailkeeper there, whoever it is that's watching, it's on guard around him, that he knew that the devil would be to try to slip in maybe a little bit of bitterness or a little bit of unforgiveness or a little bit of resentment or a little bit of jealousy or whatever it is, just to get Apostle Paul off track and off kilter and lose out in the very end. Oh, that would be such a heartbreak, wouldn't it? But you know the devil, he wants to do that to you and I too. But let's not forget that, what's the scripture say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, we have someone on our side that's already defeated Satan, okay? When Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected, that power, that resurrection power, can rest with us today, okay? To where God can continue to transform us through his truth and his gospel message. Therefore, we can say with boldness, just like Apostle Paul, that we've committed everything about our life to the Lord. And I know he's able to keep me. I can't keep myself. You can't keep myself. But the Lord can keep me all the way to the end, all the way through. Therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And that's what Apostle Paul got a hold of. And I'm thankful that he shared that in a letter to his adopted son, Timothy. And that we can read these letters now and it can inspire us. That quite frankly, you know, there's folks coming behind us now that that they're learning, they're having personal experiences in relationship with the Lord. And God has a calling on their life. And God's working and transforming things in their lives. And it's wonderful to see. And so Lord, help us all to be faithful to the Lord, to where we can boldly say, I'm not ashamed of what the gospel is doing in my life, what the gospel is doing in someone else's life, because it's the Lord's gospel. It's not about me. It's not about someone else, about what somebody said or didn't say, or what somebody did or didn't do. It's the Lord that has always proved to be true, that has never lied to us, has never let us down, has never deceived us, has never mistreated us. That's who we're dealing with, folks. And therefore, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Thank the Lord. And at the end here, it says, able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Well, likely referring to the day of judgment, when Jesus will return and the end of the world. And basically, Apostle Paul looking forward to his eternal reward. That he knows that God can keep him all the way through. Even though he's in prison. And unjustly so. It's like, he wasn't an evil man. He didn't commit a crime or a murder. I mean, not at that time. Maybe he did early on in his life. But God had forgiven him of those things. And those things were in the past. And he was a new man. And he was doing God's business, so to speak. And living this life. And then he's persecuted and ridiculed and made fun of and put into prison and stoned and all these things that Apostle Paul encountered. And yet, just like Job, he didn't charge God foolishly. He could boldly say, even while he's facing execution, sure death at some point, by the hand of someone else, he could still boldly say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He's saying, this is the Lord, and I am the Lord's. And I'm fully convinced, and this is Apostle Paul saying, I'm fully convinced that God has kept me before and he's going to keep me now. There's no difference here because it's the same God in control. So thank the Lord for that. So I want to take this a little further. I want to read that scripture I referenced earlier in Romans 1 and 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The part I wanted to emphasize on that scripture is, it is the power of God. Oh, I'm so thankful that it's not based upon my power or your power or the power of our government or the power of my family or the power of you name it. It has nothing to do with it. It's the power of God, folks. That's what brings salvation. It's not what I can do. It's not my intellect. It's not the things I've memorized. It's not how well I can pray and how good I can do all these other things. No. It's the power of God that brings salvation, okay? So again, Apostle Paul is not ashamed of that. And I want to take this a step further. You know, none of us have to apologize or make excuses for the gospel. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the gospel is the gospel. And all we have to do is read it and believe it and exercise it. That's really all we have to do. But sometimes the devil wants us to get to a place they're like, well, you know, because of this, and maybe because of that, and such and such, and so, or my past experience in this, or whatever, that the devil would love to get us our vision and our mind blurred a little bit to where it's like, well, I don't know that the gospel could really do this. And I don't know that God could really do such and such. And to where it's like you're almost like apologizing. So, well, that's actually too much. Like, I don't think God would require you to do this and to do that or whatever. And folks, we're not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. That's not my point here this morning. My point is, only God knows your heart. Okay? I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. God knows the things that he's been talking to me about, and God knows the things he's been talking to you about. Because, folks, this is a personal relationship with God. And when it comes down to in my relationship with the Lord, and if I start backing up on something that God is talking to me about, whose gospel is it? Is it my gospel? Is it how I want to customize it and tell the Lord, say, Lord, that's not for me. And I don't think I can do this. And I've never been able to do such and such. So, of course, we're not going to go there. You know what happens? It starts becoming my gospel. It starts becoming your gospel. Where if God is able to promote his gospel and his truth, don't you believe he's able to enable that? You understand what I'm saying? God, we'll put it this way. God's not going to call you to do something that he won't enable you to do it. We'll just put it out that way. And scriptures will back that up. And Apostle Paul was saying that basically to Timothy as well. But I'm thankful that we can say with clarity that this is the gospel of Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because it is God's power that works in us. It's not my power or your power. And to think of it this way. What I love about the power of the gospel, as I mentioned earlier, and sometimes we try to look at things like huge, like huge dramatic things that happen, which that happens too, like with Apostle Paul and his transformation there on the road to Damascus. But you know, sometimes it's a simple daily things in life. Let me give you an example. When God speaks to a soul, where they realize they said something or did something that hurt somebody. Or they realize they neglected to do something that hindered someone else or whatever it is. Or they came up short in whatever situation and God talks to them when they're alone and by themselves, no other influences from other people, but the Lord and his faithful spirit and in his gentle spirit pays that person a visit, and that person realizes, you know what? I need to correct that. I need to fix that. And they can even maybe feel like they're embarrassed or ashamed about what they did. But folks, the power of the gospel is when the Lord speaks to us and we're open to, Lord, what would you want me to do? And the Lord inspires us to do such and such, whatever it is. Maybe it's to go back and give an apology about something. It may be as simple as that. And what happens then is that proves and demonstrates the power of the gospel. Because it was the Lord speaking to someone to prompt them to do something. It wasn't someone else tapping them on the shoulder saying, hey, you better go do such and such. Or hey, you better go make this right. No, it was the Lord that spoke to them. And what that proves is the ultimate power and authority of the power of the gospel. That we don't have to be ashamed or embarrassed about that. Because why? It works. And we see that person that God talks to, and they go make the correction, give the apology, or they set things right, whatever it is, whatever they need to do, and they make things right. And folks, that is powerful. Folks, that is a testimony to the power of the gospel working in someone's life, transforming, even if it's just little things at a time, it doesn't matter. Over time, it becomes evident that that person, they're not ashamed of the gospel either. They're willing to freely testify, not about what I did, about what someone else did, but it's about what the Lord did for them. It's all about the Lord. And all the praise and glory goes to Him. No one can obtain, or how do I say this? No one can claim the glory out of the power of the gospel but Jesus Christ Himself. And He defers it back to the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? That it's not about us. It wasn't about Apostle Paul. It wasn't about Timothy. It wasn't about Peter. It wasn't about John. It was about the Lord and the power of the gospel, where He began transforming lives. And oh, it was a wonderful sight, seeing the early church grow. And so I want to conclude with this scripture. And this is a scripture I've referenced many times in the last several years. It's actually still here in this chapter of 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Second Timothy 1 and 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank the Lord. Folks, when we have fear, and we're talking about fear where we're afraid, and we're like frozen in fear, and we're like traumatized, and we're not able to function as we should function, you realize that's from Satan himself? The scripture says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. And folks, all around us today, we see a spirit of fear in so many avenues. I'm not even going to try to explain all the details. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes it's on a very deep personal level that we can be enveloped in a spirit of fear ourselves, of like, oh, I can't ever do such and such because it's never worked before and I can't ever see myself. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Okay, what's the scripture say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You realize that that defeats the spirit of fear? Because what's happening there? We're focusing on what Jesus can do. How Jesus can transform us through the power of the gospel, all right? And we're not ashamed or embarrassed about that, because that takes us above who we are, who we used to be, and all those things. It takes us to a whole nother level. We're not focusing on ourselves, because we're focused on what Jesus can do and is doing in us. So therefore, it takes care of the fear. He says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, because fear is destructive. Absolutely it is. Fear is destructive. The type of fear they're talking about here. But rather, God has given, he says, for God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And where does that come from? It comes from God. And it's also hidden in the gospel of Christ. Okay? So to think about it this way. We don't have anything to be afraid of, do we? Lord, help us. Folks, we are human. And yes, maybe we've made some mistakes. And maybe there's been some others in our lives that have made some mistakes too. But you know what happens? We can get wrapped up in those things, and we can become ashamed or embarrassed, and that's as far as we go because we're focusing on ourselves, upon one another. That's not what the gospel is about, folks. I mean, it is about us, but it's about changing us. It's about promoting us into a spirit of power and love and a sound mind where I can think clearly. God can give us a sound mind where we can see exactly who I used to be and we can see what God is making of me. I realize the connection there, and it's God enabling that process. And not only do it for me, he can do it for everyone in our lives. Thank the Lord. That's the power of the gospel. Oh, I'm so thankful that we can focus on what God wants to do. The transforming power of his truth and his word and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not only what it did for Apostle Paul, but folks, it's what it can do for us today. Everyday life, not just on Sundays. Every day of our life. That we can have this testimony, just like Apostle Paul. We can have that faith and confidence in God's power. That, okay, maybe so-and-so is not changing because they're not allowing it. But Lord, help me to change. Help me to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. All right? To where if I can get a hold of this, and I cannot be ashamed of the gospel, then maybe at some point someone else will catch on to that too. You see, that's how it works. And I'm so thankful that this gospel has been passed down through the ages, through the generations, through the decades, and through the centuries, that folks, it still works. The plan of salvation still works. The power of the gospel is still prevalent. And I'm so thankful we can all be a part of that. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him.